Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. This is God's word. Then all the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba and from the land of Gilead came out as one man and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. The leaders of all the people of the tribes of Israel took their places in the assembly of the people of God. 400,000 soldiers armed with swords. The Benjamites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. Then the Israelites said, "Tell us how this awful thing happened." So the Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, said, "I and my concubine came to Gibeah in Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me and surrounded the house, intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and sent one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance, because they committed this lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up and give your verdict." All the people rose as one man, saying, "None of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to his house. But now this is what we'll do to Gibeah. We'll go up against it as the lot directs. We'll take 10 men out of every 100 from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 from 1,000, and 1,000 from 10,000 to get provisions for the army. Then when the army arrives at Gibeah and Benjamin, it can give them what they deserve for all this vileness done in Israel." So all the men of Israel got together and united as one man against the city. The tribes of Israel sent men throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What about this awful crime that was committed among you? Now surrender those wicked men of Gibeah so that we may put them to death and purge the evil from Israel." But the Benjamites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. From their towns, they came together at Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. At once, the Benjamites mobilized 26,000 swordsmen from their towns, in addition to 700 chosen men from those living in Gibeah. Among all these soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 swordsmen, all of them fighting men. The Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. They said, "Who of us shall go first to fight against the Benjamites?" The Lord replied, "Judah shall go first." The next morning, the Israelites got up and pitched camp near Gibeah. The men of Israel went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Gibeah. The Benjamites came out of Gibeah and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the men of Israel encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening. And they inquired of the Lord. They said, "Shall we go up again to battle against the Benjamites, our brothers?" The Lord answered, "Go up against them." Then the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day. This time, when the Benjamites came out from Gibeah to oppose them, they cut down another 18,000 Israelites, all of them armed with swords. Then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was there, with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, "Shall we go up again to battle with Benjamin, our brother, or not?" The Lord responded, "Go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands." Then Israel set an ambush around Gibeah. They went up against the Benjamites on the third day and took up positions against Gibeah as they had done before. The Benjamites came out to meet them and were drawn away from the city. They began to inflict casualties on the Israelites as before, so that about 30 men fell in the open field and on the roads, the one leading to Bethel and the other to Gibeah. While the Benjamites were saying, "We are defeating them as before," the Israelites were saying, "Let's retreat and draw them away from the city to the roads." All the men of Israel moved from their places and took up positions at Baal Tamar. And the Israelite ambush charged out of its place on the west of Gibeah. Then 10,000 of Israel's finest men made a frontal attack on Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that the Benjamites did not realize how near disaster was. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel. And on that day, the Israelites struck down 25,100 Benjamites, all armed with swords. Then the Benjamites saw that they were beaten. Now the men of Israel had given way before Benjamin because they relied on the ambush they had set near Gibeah. The men who had been in ambush made a sudden dash into Gibeah, spread out, and put the whole city to the sword. The men of Israel had arranged with the ambush that they should send up a great cloud of smoke from the city, and then the men of Israel would turn in battle. The Benjamites had begun to inflict casualties on the men of Israel, about 30, and they said, "We're defeating them as in the first battle." But when the column of smoke began to rise from the city, the Benjamites turned and saw the smoke of the whole city going up into the sky. Then the men of Israel turned on them, and the men of Benjamin were terrified because they realized that disaster had come upon them. So they fled before the Israelites in the direction of the desert, but they could not escape the battle. And the men of Israel, who came out of the towns, cut them down there. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily overran them in the vicinity of Gibeah on the east. 18,000 Benjamites fell, all of them valiant fighters. As they turned and fled toward the desert to the rock of Rimmon, the Israelites cut down 5,000 men along the roads. They kept pressing after the Benjamites as far as Gittim and struck down 2,000 more. On that day, 25,000 Benjamite swordsmen fell, all of them valiant fighters. But 600 men turned and fled into the desert to the rock of Rimmon, where they stayed 4 months. The men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. All the towns they came across, they set on fire. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
We said last time, this is a very sad series of events. The horrible things that happened in the previous chapter, and now all of this violence and bloodshed in this chapter. What is going on? Folks, what's going on is what life looks like when people have been living for themselves and following after other gods. You say, well, these folks prayed and sought the Lord and the Lord spoke to them. Yes, he did. But unfortunately, they had not been seeking the Lord. They had not been pursuing him. And now as they sought to do the right thing, it was more about getting God on their side. They were not all that eager to do this. And you can hear in the way they request of the Lord once they've suffered great casualties, you know, Lord, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Do you really want us to go and fight against our brothers? That's their prayer request. And God's answer is yes. But it isn't just the Benjamites who suffer. It is also the other Israelites. Because it isn't just the Benjamites who are guilty. It is also the other Israelites. And this was a pattern time and again as God dealt with his people in the Old Testament that everybody experienced loss. Everybody suffered. When God would strike the nation with drought, there was drought everywhere. Even Elijah had to survive in very rough circumstances during the years of no rain. Wasn't easy for him. Well, here, if you look at what had happened, all the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba and from the land of Gilead came out as one man and assembled before the Lord. They took their places in the assembly of the people of God. Here they're serious now about their faith, their sense of offense over this evil that has been done has stirred them up. They're very upset because this is an outrage. In this country, these United States, we have had in recent years a lot of people getting upset about things in society that seem to us outrageous. And yet the folks who have advocated for acceptance of those sinful behaviors have been right in turning around and saying to everybody else, well, why didn't you say anything about this? Why do you tolerate this? Why do you think this is okay? The answer is because, you know, we didn't see this as being as big a problem as that. Well, if this is a problem, then guess what? This is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem, and this is a problem. And you can't just pick and choose which things you're going to have moral outrage concerning. It's not about what we feel and what we think. It's about what God says. And if we start looking at what God says, all of us are forced to come to the realization that we too have sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That doesn't make sin okay. It just clarifies our position. Only God is righteous. The rest of us have got a sin problem and need a Savior. So, they gathered, they went before the Lord, and they said, verse 3, chapter 20, tell us how this awful thing happened. Please listen to the account offered by the Levite. I and my concubine came to Gibeah and Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me and surrounded the house intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and sent one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance because they committed this lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up and give your verdict. Is that what happened? Well, sort of. It's an abridged account. Look back to the previous chapter and see what happened. They didn't just come to kill him, they came to rape him. He thought he'd leave that out. His host offered his daughter and the Levite's wife. He left that out. But the men would not listen to him, so the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them and they raped her and abused her throughout the night, and at dawn they let her go. He left that part out. He left out his own guilt in the matter. He sanitized it to make it so that it's all on the other party. Please understand that we all have a tendency to do that. And then we want everybody to side with us because, of course, we didn't do anything. But the fact of the matter is, none of us are without guilt. All of us have done wrong. So have a little humility when you're crying out to God for justice. Because if God wiped out all the bad people, we'd all be gone. Nobody would be able to enjoy lunch. But please do note that the Levite did not give a full account. He put all the guilt on the bad people in Gibeah. Now, should the people in Gibeah be held accountable? Absolutely. When the Levite says, "Now all you Israelites, speak up and give your verdict," all the people rose as one man saying, "None of us will go home. Not one of us will return to his house. This is what we'll do to Gibeah." Notice, it is an attack on Gibeah. There's a tribe that didn't show up for this meeting. It's the tribe of Benjamin. Why didn't they show up? Because Gibeah is one of their towns. Ever heard the expression, "Blood is thicker than water"? What does that mean? It means family ties mean a lot to us. Hear me. It is wired into us. The family relationships mean a lot. In our culture today, the reason why some things that are obviously, if you just look at biology, that doesn't work. And yet it's being defended by people who themselves are not inclined that way. Why would they defend it? Because that's my brother. That's my sister. That's my dad. That's my mom. That's my child. That's my grandchild. That's my friend. That was my college roommate. And so because of relationship with these people, even though we wouldn't do that, we want to defend them. Defend their behavior. That's the mistake the Benjamites made, and it cost them their lives. It cost them their lives. They ended up getting wiped out. But the people who came and eventually wiped them out did it at great cost. Please notice, Benjamites wouldn't listen to their fellow Israelites who said, "You need to put them to death and purge the evil from Israel," or "We need to put them to death and purge the evil from Israel." From their towns, they came together at Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. Immediately, they mobilized 26,000 swordsmen from their towns in addition to 700 chosen men from those living in Gibeah. Among all these soldiers were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. Please notice that part of having even a semi-civilized society is that you have people who know how to fight. These soldiers, well-trained soldiers on the part of the Benjamites, come out to fight against. Who's going to win? Well, whoever the Lord gives victory to. So, the Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. Now they're getting really serious, because they see that the Benjamites are not agreeing to what they proposed. They've got this formidable army that they're going to have to overcome. And so they go to meet with God. They inquired of God and said, "Who of us shall go up first to fight against the Benjamites?" Now please look at that verse and then look at verse 23. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening and inquired of the Lord. They said, "Shall we go up again to battle against the Benjamites, our brothers?" The first time they're saying, "Which of us should go first? Come on, God, tell us, who should go first?" God says, "Judah." All right. And they go out and they fight, and thousands of them are wiped out, killed. I mean, these guys didn't come home limping. They were dead on the field. And so now the Israelites are weeping before the Lord. And they say, "God, do you really want us to do this? You see, we're all in favor of doing the right thing until it costs us. Suddenly the whole mood has changed and they're saying, God, listen, if you don't want us to do this, it's okay. Shall we go up again to battle against the Benjamites, our brothers? The Lord answered, go up against them. It's pretty succinct. It's what God said. He said, go up against them. So the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day and lost another 18,000. God, I'm not sure this is a good idea. And so they go and they pray again. Verse 26, then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel and they sat weeping before the Lord. And they fasted that day until evening. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. Now they're getting serious. Before they're going up and asking the Lord, now they're going up and worshiping the Lord. The dynamic has changed. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord, and they asked, shall we go up again to battle with Benjamin, our brother, or not? They're still offering way out. Remember, the first time they asked, it was, which of us shall go first? Now the question is, should we really be doing this? The Lord responded, go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands. Okay. The reason they're going to be successful is because God's going to give them victory, and I'm thinking, you could have done that sooner. Yeah, he could have, but he didn't. But all those people died. Tens of thousands of people died. Yeah. Do you know how many of those people were going to die anyway? All of them. Why is there death and sickness and sorrow in this world? Why is there all this evil? Because God said, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. And you and I are born into a world that is under a curse because the fact of the matter is we are all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve when we're born into this world. And we're born into a condition of death. All these people who died, sad, tragic, judgment. But the fact of the matter is every single one of them was a sinner. And every single one of them deserved to die just like me. If God gave me what I deserve, I'd be dead. Thousands of times over. I've told before about the time I went to God in prayer. I was a teenager. The Lord had told me to share the gospel with a boy who was visiting from out of town. He was over at my neighbor's house when I went to see my neighbor, and I didn't share the gospel. The kid tried to strike up a conversation with me, and I just brushed him off because I'd just gotten back from a trip and was eager to visit with my friends. And this kid was a lot younger than I was, and I thought I was too grown up and cool to waste time with him. And when I went to have my devotions that night, because I was a Christian, I loved the Lord, I was just not walking in the Spirit. When I went to have my devotions, the Lord convicted me that I had failed to share the gospel with that boy. And so I prayed one of the stupidest prayers of my life. I said, okay, God, if you wanted me to share the gospel with that boy, please forgive me. That's not confession. That's not repentance. That's an excuse. If you wanted, I knew he wanted me to. I should have said, God, I'm so sorry. You directed me to witness to that boy and I didn't do it. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That was wrong of me. Instead, I said, if you wanted me to, I'm sorry. And then I really got crazy, really stupid. I said, if you want me to talk to him tomorrow, when I go down to the Barker's house, he's got to already be there. And I'm not going to start a conversation with him. He's got to start it with me. And I'm not going to try and turn the conversation to spiritual things. He'll have to move it in that direction. Okay, now if you were God, would you put up with that kind of garbage from a
smart aleck kid. If God had turned me into a little pile of ash right there at the foot of my bed, it would have been completely just. Okay? I mean, I'm telling God what my conditions are. You want me to do this? Then you do this and this and this. Then I'll do what you say. Do you understand how wrong that is? I don't know why God spared me. I really don't. But he not only spared me, I went down there the next morning and the kid was already there. The Barkers weren't even up yet. But this kid was sitting in the driveway of their home. And as I walked into view, he said, "Hey, Jim, how are you today?" It's two of the conditions right there. He had to already be there and he had to start the conversation with me. I said, "Fine." And we started talking. We're in the middle of a conversation about mini bikes when he says, "Jim, I'm sorry to change the subject, but how can I be born again?" Now, I'm just telling you that because on the one hand, I deserve God's wrath. On the other hand, God is filled with mercy and compassion and chooses to use people who don't deserve to be used. And I want you to understand that what was going on here, God could have wiped out all of them. We wonder, why didn't you give us victory sooner? The real question is, why did God give them victory at all? We say, 40,000 people dead. God says, "You're still alive, aren't you?" That's mercy. That's grace. And so, they used strategy. They didn't ambush. It worked. And after they'd wiped out the people of Gibeah, verse 46, on that day, 25,000 Benjamite swordsmen fell, all of them valiant fighters. 600 men turned and fled into the desert to the rock of Rimmon, where they stayed 4 months. And the men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. And all the towns they came across, they set on fire. Well, that's victory. That's devastation. And the next chapter, which is the last chapter of the book, is going to talk about the fact that now they've got another problem on their hands. The fact of the matter is, when we think we are righteous, we're probably overlooking some very significant stuff. The only righteousness I have is Jesus Christ. I don't feel like I'm better than other people. Steve Brown says, Christians get to be a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is. You and I have the privilege of pointing people to the one who saved us when we didn't deserve it either. And when you understand that, you'll be a lot quicker to share God's love and His mercy and His grace because you realize that's what we all need.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.